As we read through the Gospels in the New Testament, we hear several times the disciples and, of course, Jesus himself raising people from the dead. They provide for others a resurrection. Perhaps most famously in the Gospel of John, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, of course, last week we celebrated Jesus being raised from the dead, Easter Sunday, with all its glory and splendor. Jesus raised from the dead by the power of God the Father. What is different between Lazarus and those others and Jesus? All were raised from the dead, but Jesus is significantly different. Why is that? Okay, he's the Son of God, yes, but... Well, Jesus does not die again. And that's what we celebrate today with this story from the book of Acts. Lazarus, the others that the disciples had raised, they died another earthly death. Jesus, we are told by the gospel writer Luke, that Jesus ascends. Jesus is taken up into heaven in the midst of the clouds and the witnesses underneath. Now, if you were with us last week, you heard about the resurrection of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. And it ends a bit sourly, doesn't it? The women are fleeing from the tomb. They're afraid. We are told they say nothing to anyone. So what good news it is today from the book of Acts that the women must have said something at some point to someone, because here it is after Easter. Luke tells us Jesus has been teaching for 40 days, a significant number, of course, in the Bible. Just as God taught the people in the wilderness for 40 years, now the resurrected Jesus spends 40 days with the church, teaching them how it is to behave and live in life. And then Jesus is taken up by the Father. Now, God's not done yet, of course. Jesus promises the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the very promise of God, that promise to fulfill the promise or to fulfill the plan of salvation history, that will be done. So we have the Ascension. Now, the Ascension is a festival in the church year. We take our cue from the book of Acts, and we set Ascension 40 days after Easter. But if you think about it, that's not 7 or 6 full weeks. It's 40 days, so Ascension always falls on a Thursday. I've only been to one Thursday Ascension service my entire ministry. Sometimes people will push it to the last Sunday of Easter and make it Ascension Sunday to celebrate the Ascension. I guess kind of like we do with Epiphany Sunday, right? We move it to the next week, the next Sunday. But it is an important event in the life of Jesus. It is an important event in God's plan of salvation. Jesus is taken up into heaven. Not only is he able then to give the Spirit of God, the promise of God to the people, but Jesus shows us, in no uncertain terms, in a very corporeal form, that death is not the end. That just as Jesus is taken into heaven, so we too shall be raised from the dead to sit at the feet of God in heaven forever. It is the final act of Jesus' story, of his part to play in the plan of salvation. We hear now of the Acts of the Apostles. We hear about the early church. It's another bit of an abrupt shift in our narrative lectionary. Remember, we studied the Old Testament in the fall and the early winter. Then we moved to the Gospel of Mark. And Mark has ended. The story of Jesus, as Mark tells us, is ended. Now we move to the Acts of the Apostles, and we will also hear about the early Christian communities from some of the letters, the epistles. And that will take us up to Pentecost. When we attend to these letters, when we read the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of a missionary community, that is, a community that is sent out in order that by the power of God's Spirit, they can help people understand, to hear the story of Jesus' resurrection, help them understand the power that God offers us through Jesus, offers us a resurrection. Missionary community is called together by Jesus, taught, led. Jesus models the godly life, then ascends. We know on Pentecost, then the Spirit descends and empowers the church to carry out its mission, sent out into the world. And we hear that in the words today. Jesus says, "You will begin in Jerusalem, you'll go to Galilee and Samaria, and then beyond to all the ends of the world." A missionary community called together by Jesus, sent out into the world by the power of the Spirit to interpret the importance of Jesus' resurrection for all people everywhere. I often find the book of Acts to be exciting. It's full of hope and possibility, right? It has that energy about it. This young community forming their identity, and then sent out to glorious adventures to take the word of God to every corner of the world. We hear this story now, some 2,000 years later, and sometimes it seems things are quite the opposite. At least here in North America and in many parts of Europe. There are parts in Africa and South America where the church is growing, but by and large, at least in North America, things are in decline. Less people are attending, there's less offering being given for the work of the church. We know, of course, that society has largely abandoned the authority of Scripture. It seems to be a dour picture. But my suggestion is, and has always been for us, to look at the book of Acts as to how we might proceed. Again, a missionary community called together by Jesus Christ the Messiah, sent out into the world by the power of the Spirit to interpret the resurrection, its importance for people everywhere. Well, we can claim that identity as well. We are a missionary community called together by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. And then again, we're equipped, we're empowered by the Spirit to go out and interpret the importance of Jesus' resurrection for everyone we meet. Now that sounds like it's a no-brainer, but we have the weight of history behind us. We have many other notions in our heads as to what the church should be. We have a long story, and quite often we are loath to let that go. I once read online, I don't know who put this together first, it wasn't attributed to anyone, so I apologize for that. But as I read through it, it rang true. It says that Christianity began as a community of believers in Jerusalem. Then as it spread, it moved to Greece, and Christianity became a philosophy. From Greece, of course, then it moved to Rome, and it became an institution, the church, the medieval church. From Rome, it moved to the rest of Europe and became a culture. And then from Europe, it came to America, and Christianity became a business. For how we are called to be and behave, we attend to Scripture to understand that community gathered in Jerusalem and sent to the world. We read the Gospel. We read the Book of Acts. We read the Epistles. From Greece to Rome, to Europe, to America, that's all a part of history. I would commend to you The Story of Christianity, Volume 1 and 2 by Justo Gonzalez. Fantastic retelling of the story of the Christian church. And it backs up this idea of philosophy, institution, culture, and business. It's been said too, I think this was a Rick Warren quote, he said, that the church of the 21st century is to be successful and faithful, it's going to have to look a lot more like the church of the first century than the 20th century. I thought that was profound. Here we hear again this wonderful, this hopeful opportunity of the early church. We are faced with the dire threats of what church has become. Is it okay that the church has a philosophy? Is it okay that the church has institutions? Is it okay that the church has a culture? Is it okay too? This is the sketchy one. You've got to be real careful with this one. Yes, we collect money and we keep ledgers and we spend on things. But when any of those ceases to serve us as a community of people gathered in the name of the Messiah, sent out by the power of the Spirit to interpret the importance of Jesus' resurrection for everyone everywhere, it becomes a problem. When we set these things on par with our missionary call, we are not being faithful. And any success, if we have it, will be short-lived. So again, I would commend these next several weeks that we might listen to the biblical church to understand their struggles, perhaps even as they are our own. To be empowered by the Spirit, to hear what God is calling us to do through the Spirit. And then maybe we can catch again that hope, that optimism of the first century church we read about in Scripture. Now that seems like a formidable task. It seems like, well, maybe excruciating as we hear the call to jettison what we once knew and trusted. When we tend to this book for this next several weeks, the book's called The Acts of the Apostles, right? And that's fine because we hear the history of those that are listed in our Scripture today. But really, shouldn't it be called The Acts of God? For the same God who worked through the apostles in the stories we hear is the same God that acts through each and every one of us as a missionary community called to go out and proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. Amen.